right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast on the Overtime Media Network, broadcasting live from the Vivid Seats Lounge. I'm Doug Norrie, and that is
James Davis.
You know it. We're going to be breaking down Week 14, game by game, through the main slate on FanDuel and DraftKings. There's not a ton of injury news. We did do a cash game podcast yesterday, so we'll nod to some of those players that we mentioned, at each position. I think that those are starting to round themselves out. That there's going to be some decisions we have to make. We have a bunch of guys, I think, that end up in the. I'm mostly curious where the rest of the industry is going to sort of label some of these guys. Less about where our system is on them, and then we'll talk about some of these injury issues that are kind of cropping up over the course of the week too, as we roll through game by game. Real quick before we do that, I didn't mention this to you yesterday, but just a quick thought, if people didn't listen to the Cash Game podcast, your thoughts on how, you know, we get a bigger player pool for the main slate this week as all the teams are off buys and we're not into those Saturday games yet. And obviously there's no Thanksgiving stuff. So this is a slightly bigger main slate than what we've seen over the last few months, really. Do you feel like that you're getting, when you look at the player pool of options, does it feel that way? Or do we feel like so many teams just have so few options from a fantasy perspective at this point, or the plays seem concentrated? Does that make sense what I'm asking? Because there's definitely more players in this week, and I'm not sure I totally feel like that's the case.
Yeah, I think we're still going to get plenty of concentration if basketball is any indication, right? Like, we just came off a Wednesday night slate where there were several players over 70% owned. It wasn't a 13-game slate the way this one is, but there were still some pretty high ownership. I think, you know, these days the industry is just somewhat consolidated, and that's going to manifest itself once again.
We'll talk about who some of these guys may or may not be. There's also obviously heading in for a season long. This is a playoffs for a lot of teams. So I think actually some of this does translate pretty well into maybe some decision making that if you found yourself like you did, James, in the DFSR listener league. I did not in my league with Darrell. I'm
updating it right now as you're droning on about the all this opening stuff.
Droning on. How dare
you? Well, I don't mean that in like a bad way.
Oh, okay. It's like the good kind of drone, the ones that like the army uses.
those are not the good kind of drones. I'm thinking about the ones that like take pictures at weddings.
Oh, right. The same, but different. Okay. The first game we have is the Redskins go in and play the Packers. Packers, big home favorites here, minus 13, and rightfully so. The Redskins are just pretty bad at this point. Now, minus 13 at home is where we want to see running backs usually, and I'm just not sure. We seem like we're just in that full, we just are in this full timeshare between Aaron Jones and Jamal Lewis. Last week, 39 snaps for Jones, got stuffed a bunch at the one-yard line, didn't get into the end zone. Jamal Williams had 10 carries and also had 4 targets. GBP upside for these guys? Just volume for either one to go around. And I'm wondering your thoughts on Devontae Adams as well.
I think you could go GPP upside on Jamal Williams. The touches have actually like sort of been there, right? 19 against San Francisco, 14 against the Giants. If this game does go blowout territory, you know, he could stand to benefit from that. Aaron Jones is just 7,800. I don't know that you can, like, where does the upside come from on that when he's already splitting carries with Williams? I don't want to play either, frankly, but I think Williams is the better GPP play there.
And then Adams was a cash game play for us last week. The weather was really bad in New York. It was snowing the whole game, and it was pretty windy. Now, he did catch a touchdown and had 10 targets. He slotted himself right back into the, you know, elite target guys in football. 8,000 on DraftKings. How close is he to a cash game play for you? We talked about DJ Moore and Julian Edelman at length yesterday in that 7,000 range. You know, Adams is 1,000 more than both of them. I don't know where you sort of rank him compared to those guys, and especially when you factor in price.
Yeah, he got a touchdown, and then he caught another touchdown. So with 2 touchdowns, 5 straight weeks of 10 targets, the concern for him kind of going into the last 2 weeks was, would the touchdown volume be there? He hadn't scored a touchdown all season to that point, and the fact that he's punched in 3 over the last 2 weeks is certainly a welcome sign. The yards per catch have been down, and that's a troubling sign. But if he's going to get double-digit target share and be a significant red zone target as well, I think you can consider it. I don't know that it's a guy I would want to prioritize. Like, I don't know if that's the payoff I'm looking for, I guess is what I want to say. But on DraftKings, it's this weird spot where you might not want to pay all the way up at quarterback. The running back payoffs really are nothing special. And that sort of leaves us with this sea of wide receivers who came into the seasons with super high expectations and it hasn't totally panned out for any of them. And some of the other guys are in tough matchups or have been underperforming recently as well. So, yeah, I think Adams is in that group of guys I would be interested in playing.
Yeah, I think I kind of land on that too. Only real Washington note here, Darius Geis is coming off a huge week last week where he rushed for 129 yards. I mean, Adrian Peterson.
He was on like 10 carries and had two touchdowns.
Yeah, well, Peterson wasn't too much more. Peterson had 13 carries for 199 yards. They just were able to run the ball a lot. I'm not really interested in either one of these guys as big underdogs. The snaps really... They didn't even play to combine the full complement of offensive snaps for the Redskins last week. There's just they played 42 of the 64 total snaps. So there's just not enough to go around there. I get that you're looking at these big yard weeks for these guys. I caution people about falling too in love with just what I would consider to be pretty outlier performances. I always want to say Indiana here because it's a basketball thing. Indianapolis goes in and plays Tampa Bay. This game is a really high total, but it started higher. It started at 49.5, and then it's actually dropped down to 46.5, coming down evenly on both sides. So that was, 3.5 to 3, but really just the opening line was just probably wrong here about the total points. We did talk about Jameis as a possible borderline cash game play. That number coming down actually is going to lower our projection on him a little bit. And then on the Colts side, there's actually some chance that Marlon Mack comes back for this game. And T.Y. Hilton's already been ruled out. And Jack Doyle, we talked about at length. I don't know. So we talked about a lot of this game already yesterday on the cash game podcast. Additional thoughts here. We can start on the Tampa Bay side.
Yeah, so starting on the Tampa Bay side, I think people know the routine by now. The passing game is always going to be big tournament quality between Godwin, Evans, and Winston. Understand that at these prices, sometimes you're just going to get ripped apart as well. Godwin comes off a 34-point week against Atlanta and then dials in a 7-point week against Jacksonville.
I hate to say that it's like an every other kind of thing with these guys, but it really feels like this.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's not like how they're working it out. Like the old, when LeBron and Dwayne Wade first got on the team together and they were like, now you go and now it's my turn. I don't think they're doing that necessarily, but like almost nothing would surprise me because this Tampa Bay team, like people forget. People look at this year and they're like, wow, Tampa Bay is crazy, huh? What about last year when they were just rotating like at halftime between quarterbacks, like a high school team? Like this team is nuts. So anyway, long story short, I don't want to rely on them for my regular cash games this week. But for big tournaments, I think it could be interesting. I still don't want to touch the running game though. Jones was terrible last week. Peyton Barber wound up getting 17 carries. He had two touchdowns, but he had 44 yards on 17 carries. So I'm not going to be bothering there either.
We mentioned Doyle as a close to a lock in terms of a cash game play this week. I say close. It's not 100%. DraftKings probably ends up being 100%. I guess FanDuel is a little closer with the pricing. There's a couple guys in this price range I guess you can talk yourself into. Any other interest in like any of these other pieces for the Colts? They have, Doyle got a ton of targets last week, and as we kind of saw that was going to happen. Zach Pascal got 10 targets, went for 107 for 109. I don't know how much, and Marcus Johnson was third on the team with 6 targets, and then it really drops off a cliff. If Hilton's not going to be back this week, and I believe that he's already been ruled out, is like how aggressive do we want to get on guys like Zach Pascal or, other pieces of this game? Or have we just seen too many examples of them just kind of spreading the love outside of the tight end and then we kind of just need to move on?
Yeah, it's funny on Pascal because he does check the boxes of the type of receiver who could step in and be a high single-digit target guy. Throughout the season, even when Hilton was there, he would flirt with these 6-7 target games and then comes out last week in Hilton's first week that he missed and 10 targets. That's pretty significant. The Colts had this, not a weird schedule per se, but they've been off for a while before last week. They went from November 21st, had their bye, and then last week, then that's when Pascal showed up with the 10 targets. So I don't know if you want to pencil him in for 10, but something like 7 to 9 seems exceedingly reasonable. And Tampa Bay, as we've talked about many times before, they're going to start by trying to take away this Colts running game. So I really love Doyle for cash. And as the week goes on, there's a chance I could be talked into Pascal as well, like especially if we wind up not being able to play Tyler Boyd. If AJ Green returns, then I think that that looks more and more attractive.
Yeah, this is one we're going to want to – I was wrong. Hilton is still only questionable, but I think it seems like he's leaning toward doubtful. So that's something that we'll keep in mind leading into Sunday. San Francisco goes in and plays the Saints. This is a marquee matchup. The line started at 45.5. It's down to 44.5. This is a pretty low total for the Saints, all things considered, but it makes sense because San Francisco on the season has still been, you know, despite having coming off the loss to Baltimore or whatever, they've still been about as good a defense as you can find in the NFL. And actually, as the season's gone on, they are creeping up toward that. You know, it's been 1-2 with New England, but New England's still been pretty far ahead of them in terms of defensive DVOA. But actually, that margin's getting thinner now as we get later into the year, and the Patriots have struggled a little bit. So they're still easily 1-2, but San Francisco is more like a 1A now than they were a clear 2. I don't know how much that affects you and your decision making around the Saints here in terms of guys like Kamara and guys like Michael Thomas. Those are really the two names we want to probably start and finish with on the Saints. Is the defensive matchup just too much for you at this point, considering their price points, or do you find there could be some upside here?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm picking between all the players in the NFL, basically the way I am this week, with 26 of the 32 teams playing on this slate, I don't know that I'm going to want to land on players going up against the second best defense in the league right now. You know, there is a reduced price point. The sites have actually done a nice job of making this somewhat interesting. I think if I had to pick someone on the Saints to play, it would probably be Kamara. The price is down. The target share remains the same. But if you take, like, say, I don't know, what do you think about taking the Tampa Bay game as a reasonable proxy for what we could expect from him here? Something like 10 targets, 13 carries, 10 carries, something like that. Because if you think he's going to get that level of target share, even against a tough rushing defense in San Francisco, you could see a pretty good performance here.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem with him, right? Because at 7,600, you really kind of you have to start considering it, even with the reduced carries, just because of sort of the way that they've rolled things, just because he's just so featured in the passing game. This is sort of a challenge play on price, I think. And I think this is one where I can see people really talking themselves into it. And you really can't fault someone for doing it. Kamara is still an elite running back, even if the production hasn't always been elite. But he also just gets it in such a way that's so different than so many running backs that I sometimes personally have a hard time evaluating what that means, if that makes sense, right? Like, because it's not Leonard Fournette, where you can say, okay, 22 carries, 4 targets, or I'm making this up on the top of my head. It's probably a little bit less of one and more than the other, but you know what I mean. Like, this is more generally what we see from a running back. Kamara's just hasn't been like that, and I'm probably always a little low on the targets and a little high on the carries. Does that make sense? That's kind of where I land with Kamara, just because it's almost like this dissonance thing. I can't look at him in that running back slot and give him the production that probably is correct, and even though it's been many examples of it so far.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. Like, the opportunity should be there, and it's a really, really tough defense. So, like, it just with a gun to your head, between him and Fournette, they're the same price.
You gotta go Fournette, I think.
You have to go Fournette.
Just because if you go down a little bit, what about him and Le'Veon Bell? Volume, and you're just definitely gonna be there, right? Like, it's just that I think that's. And could Kamara 2x Fournette? Yes, because he's just a better running back. Does that make sense?
All right, set aside Fournette, because I think most people are going to play him. What about between Kamara and Le'Veon Bell? Because Le'Veon Bell, we talked about for cash. He's got the opposite problem, where the volume hasn't been there, but he's got the perfect matchup at home against Miami.
Oh, God, I can't believe I'm going to say Bell. I think it's Bell, and it pains me because this is one of these edge decisions that really could, on Sunday afternoon, you're looking at it and be like, why do we play Bell over Kamara? Like, you could easily say that to yourself come sometime on Sunday, where you look at, and I'm not even talking about ownership piece. I'm just thinking, with these guys were the same price, and we willingly went Le'Veon Bell over Alvin Kamara, and I get all the other inputs. This is one I think we'll look at a little closer as we get into Sunday and just kind of make a decision to say, because there is a math problem that says the defense is this good and Kamara's production is this and his opportunity is this, and at some point it just – there's no wash for it to come out, and it just says these are the numbers. And I think at that point, it's good to have a system that you trust like ours, because at that point I probably will just ultimately say this is what the system says, these opportunity things are correct, and I think we need to roll with it. San Francisco spent a week making it look like they were going to give one running back all the touches. Raheem Mostert got 19 carries for 146 and a touch, just destroyed Tevin Coleman. There's no injury on Tevin Coleman. He just outsnapped him 42-10. So you're like, oh, man, they're going to start doing this thing. And then Matt Breida is supposed to come back this week. So I think that kind of puts an end. There's never going to be a situation in San Francisco where you can look at this running game and say, this is the guy. I totally trust it. Kind of feel that way about the passing game, too. I don't really know. Give me your quick thoughts here on Kittle and Sanders and guys like this. in a matchup where, I mean, there's not a ton of points on the board here in this game. This is a pretty low total. This struck me as a low total. Quick thoughts here on San Francisco, and then we'll move on.
Sanders, an interesting big tournament target. New Orleans has a really good defense, by the way. This is not the pushover matchup you may have perceived it to be in the past. Kittle with the knee thing, I just can't imagine trusting it. Last week, 4 targets, 2 catches for 17 yards. I don't think there's anyone on the San Francisco side that makes the cash game cut for us.
Carolina goes in and plays the Falcons in the Dome. There, Carolina's coming off the firing of their coach, Ron Rivera. It's always a little weird midseason to figure out what a new coach is going to do and what the game plan is going to be. We talked about DJ Moore at length yesterday on the podcast. Christian McCaffrey is probably just too expensive to have the question marks around what the offense is going to do. DJ Moore is not expensive enough to make that question, to have that question mark to me, but McCaffrey probably is. Greg Olsen took a huge hit last week, was knocked out cold on the field. He's not cleared the concussion protocol yet. Probably, if you without Olsen, how I don't know how aggressive we want to get on the tight ends here, or like a guy like Curtis Samuel, or just give McCaffrey more targets. I'm wondering your thoughts. Olsen's not a huge target guy, but he's some targets, and this is a matchup against Atlanta that I still think we want to probably have some exposure to. Thoughts here on the Panthers with the new coach and some of the injury stuff.
Yeah, it might finally be Curtis Samuel week for us. Other people have tried him in the past. He's a sub 6,000 guy. I think taking Olsen's targets off the table and redistributing them does matter. And I think importantly, they haven't really had anyone else kind of lurking in that tight end spot. You know, there's a lot of guys whose names are listed on FanDuel under the tight ends. The only one that did anything significant at all was Ian Thomas. He had 4 catches last week. So, you know, maybe people will consider him. He's 4,000. I don't think I've ever.
That's what I mean. Like, he was a guy I wanted to bring up. It's just a possible,
yeah,
you know, let's just try, you know, Jesper Hostert kind of just try to get lucky with something here.
I would think about it, honestly. 4,000 is a price you just don't see. So I like it. 2,300 less than Doyle. I'm listening. I don't know if I would want to just plug and play there, but we know that Carolina does want to prioritize the tight end. And listen, this is a good matchup. So I could see it. One thing I want to say too, you know, we talked about earlier those Redskins running backs and the huge week they had last week. That was against Carolina. Carolina, the worst rushing defense in the league for DVOA. So I'm, you know, I was kind of dipping my toe in and out on Freeman on the Cash Game podcast. I've been getting more excited about that play as the week has gone on. I think he's just a flat-out strong play here.
By the way, Ian Thomas only needs 7 projected points on FanDuel for us to be in the top lineup. That's nothing.
Well, and this is the thing about tight ends, too, is that they're just trash. Like, right. You know, aside from Doyle, who's 1,000 more expensive than he was last year, you know, it just doesn't take much to be a quality DFS tight end right now. And heaven forbid he catch a touchdown or something, like, this could really get out of hand fast. So, yeah, it might be Ian Thomas time. First time for everything.
I wish it was just a slightly better running back pool to pay up for. I think that's the only issue. So we'll talk. We'll talk about the Ian Thomas thing. When I say we're going to talk about it on Sunday, by the way, I'm speaking about our members only chat. That's part of our subscription package, which you can sign up at dfsr.com/deals. So when I'm saying Sunday, James and I, our conversations that we're having leading into lineup lock are part of that subscription package. So just go and check that out. Okay, so let's just talk real quick about the Atlanta side. You mentioned Devontae Freeman as being a nice play here. There, and I think I agree with you mostly, and then I'm just still always a little bit worried about these Atlanta running back situations. And then we have Julio Jones getting healthier here. Looks like he's going to play. Looks like Hooper's going to play. When all these guys are healthy, I'm not really seeing it for me, definitely not from a cash game perspective. Give me your thoughts on what happens when we get these guys back into the mix for the target share.
Yeah, when they get back in the mix for the target, I mean, we were already pretty low on these Falcons guys. Given that both Ridley and Jones are questionable and Hooper might come back, it's starting to get pretty tough. I will say that Ridley has been worth every penny in the last several weeks. You know, getting tons of targets, getting red zone targets, converting them into nice yardage per catch as well. Like, you really can't fast for more from Ridley. He is at an all-time high price for this season, but, you know, should things shake out where he's going to be kind of the obvious guy, I think I wouldn't mind rolling Ridley out there again. But right now, yeah, it looks like there's going to be a lot of cooks in that kitchen.
All right, let's talk real quick about a sponsor, Vivid Seats app. If you're buying and selling tickets, really, but I'm talking more about the buying side here, because if you're going to a game, concert, theater, whatever it is, Got to log into the Vivid Seats app, use the promo code OVERTIME, OVERTIME, That's going to get you signed up for the rewards program. It's also going to give you up to $100 back on your first ticket purchases. You got to use the promo code to lock that in. Love the Vivid Seats app. Been looking, and I'm about to buy these Nets tickets. I've been talking about this for a little while, but finally trying to just center in on the game. But we've been using the Vivid Seats app to just make sure we're getting the best price, getting the best seats, the best view. It's all there in the app. So use the Vivid Seats app, use the promo code OVERTIME, and you're good to go.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Lions going to face the Vikings. Vikings huge favorites here, 13-point home favorites, and Dalvin Cook is dealing with pain management or something like that. That's kind of where it's going to land here on his injury. He did leave the game last week with a chest injury, and it's not one of these things that requires surgery or anything like that. It's just going to be like, how much can he deal with the pain? It's such a bummer because I think we'd be almost anything outside of this news, we'd be locking Dalvin Cook, or if he just sat, we'd just like lock in Madison. This feels like the worst of both worlds for the Vikings here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you want to play Cook if there's all these questionable tags swirling around him. He's great when he's there. It's a game where they're heavily favored. Minnesota could use this win, and it's hard to imagine that, like what we saw last week, It just doesn't look great for Cook right now. I don't know how else to say it. And the worst thing you can run into in DFS, and this happens in football more so than any other sport, is they try a guy for a couple series and then he just gets pulled for the rest of the game. That's where I could see this heading with Cook, and that's a huge risk to take for your highest paid player on your team, right? So I think unless I really need it, which I don't think I will given the other running back options, I have a hard time imagining wanting to play him in cash.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Like I said, it's worst of all worlds with the exact kind of news. Again, we'll get a little bit more as we go through the week, and there's some chance he doesn't play, and if that's the case, then we're going to instantly pivot to Madison, and I think that he'll be the overwhelming chalk, and I just don't think that's where we're going to go. Adam Thielen remains sidelined here. He's been out for a few weeks. It hasn't really opened up the targets on the Minnesota side like I thought it was going to. You want to dream on guys like Stephon Diggs when he's not around. And he did get 9 targets last week, but only 4 for 25. Kyle Rudolph had 6 targets. I know that, again, they didn't throw the ball a ton. But thoughts here on the passing game without Thielen? It doesn't look, I guess they threw the 38 times. That is a decent amount. They're just spread out a lot. Thoughts here on this passing game? Big favorites. Minnesota is a very difficult team to get a read on.
Yeah, that's really where it comes down to for me. We've seen some massive weeks out of Diggs, especially in situations where Thielen was banged up. I mean, he had a 40 fantasy point week this season, which is not something very many players can say. He had that 3-week stretch where he averaged 150 yards receiving. So we know this is an absolute big play monster here. The question is surrounding the game script. If Minnesota is going to be double-digit favorites over the Lions and their slew of backups at every position, is Diggs really going to be a huge part of the plan? That's the part that I can't totally wrap my mind around. So I think Diggs right now for me looks like a big tournament play.
Yeah, I think so too. And I, you know, in other weeks, if you said you were going to get him at these prices without Adam Thielen, I think you would have thought, oh, we're going to kind of just like lock this in to cash game stuff. But, you know, 8,000, it's not totally cheap. And it just hasn't, exactly. He just hasn't turned into a huge target share guy. And so, or there's been enough times where it hasn't worked. So I think that's kind of where, yeah, perfect big tournament play, especially if they can't get the run game going. But for cash, I think you'll see some people kind of talk themselves into it. I personally don't think I want to go there. And I guess maybe this is a one that's a slightly different, a slightly closer decision. He is going to get Darius Slay too. Maybe these are kind of the things that like just say, okay, well, in the end, if he's just going to get Darius, then I don't think that we don't need to push the envelope here. Denver goes in and plays Houston. Another one of these big favorites, 9.5-point home favorites for Houston coming off the win over the Patriots. Again, this is where we usually want to be with running backs, and they just don't have. I mean, they have Carlos Hyde.
You have to field a running back first for me to be interested in playing your team's running back.
That's what I mean. Carlos Hyde coming off 10 carries, 17 yards. Duke Johnson out snaps him. I hate to sound frustrated, but it's mostly because these are the lines and the sort of situations that I want to get excited for a certain thing to happen, and it's just, you know, just another example of where you just really can't do it with the way the team's constructed.
It's the modern NFL. Most of the smart, good teams are doing things like this, where they don't hammer home one running back for 30 carries a game. And kudos to the Texans. It's probably the right move. Hyde and Johnson bring really different skill sets as well, and it just makes them irrelevant for our purposes.
So what about DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson? Watson's a guy that we've wanted to roll out in cash and have rolled out in cash at times, or to kind of mixed results. Hopkins continues to get, you know, a lion's share of the targets, and that's just going to be the case. Big spread here. I don't know if we're worried about blowout or we just say to ourselves, okay, well, this is, if the points are going to come, it's going to come through a lot through this duo, or that's just not how we're viewing this game. What are your thoughts here on the passing game?
I don't think I want to play Watson. I think I know Jackson is much more expensive, but I think if I'm not going to go like really cheap at quarterback, I think I'm just going to play Lamar Jackson, who just really shows up and does it every single week. You know, Watson, he was good against the Pats, but we've seen some weeks, even in solid matchups, like against Indy, where he scored less than 20 fantasy points. Against Baltimore, not a solid matchup, but 5 fantasy points. Like, it can certainly come and go on him a little bit. And then you have Hopkins. I think actually between Hopkins and Davante Adams, I think that's a pretty interesting conversation to be had. Hopkins was still right there in the mix, where like Will Fuller disappeared completely against the Pats. Hopkins still had 8 targets, caught 5 balls. So I think he's an interesting big payoff option at wide receiver. If that third slot, like right now, I think we're pretty well locked into 2 of our 3 wide receiver slots, in DJ Moore and, remind me, this is...
Oh, Julian Edelman, right, maybe? Or
Edelman, yeah. But then for that third slot, I could see Hopkins creeping up there, especially if we can take a $4,000 tight end. But yeah, right now, he's slightly on the outside looking in.
People wanted to play Philip Lindsay last week, and it looked okay from a carries perspective, but it's just another week of Royce Freeman outsnaps him. So Lindsay gets 17 carries and 3 targets, which is great, 20 touches on his 25 snaps. So he was on the field, and it might as well sign that said, I'm getting the ball when I'm on the field. But then again, only played fewer than half the snaps. So Royce Freeman played 32, carried the ball 5 times. He had 4 targets. This team is just bad. I don't know what you can trust with them. At this point, it's too much of a bridge too far. You're probably going to see people actually play the Texans defense, although they are a little expensive because the sites have done a better job of pricing defenses in quality matchups here. So I just don't really know. Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant, these guys, they're all sort of interesting, and you need a lot to go right with the way this team just kind of ends up rolling things out. Baltimore goes in and plays Buffalo. Another sort of marquee matchup in a way that I don't think at the beginning of the season people who saw this on the calendar wouldn't have thought this way, but both these teams are exceeding expectations, at least in terms of the record, and probably definitely the fantasy performances too, because Josh Allen's been a really pretty damn good fantasy quarterback in his own right, not Lamar Jackson, but just gets a lot done on the ground as well. We talked a lot about Lamar as probably just being a cash game lock for us this week. I don't think with the other savings we're getting, you know, the $4,000 tight end is for me first going to go to Lamar Jackson, right? Like that's the first, yep. Those are the first piece of the savings, and then we'll figure out where the rest of it is. But then outside of him on the Baltimore team, he just does so much, especially on the ground, that it's just another week of saying to ourselves, I don't know what we're getting away with the rest of the guys in the Ravens.
Nothing. Yeah, the rest of them are totally unreliable from a DFS perspective. And it's you know, it's evidenced by their prices too. Hollywood Brown looked like he could be something earlier this season. He had two targets against San Francisco. You're not going to play him. Andrews has been kind of flirting around that tight end discussion, but he's expensive. He's priced like these top tier tight ends. And in the last 3 weeks combined, he has 13 targets, where Doyle had 11 last week. So you're not going to play him in cash either.
John Brown has been a big target guy in the past. Well, it didn't really work out that way last week. They looked at Beasley more, 7 targets. I still don't mind going back to Brown here. It's not a great matchup, of course, and there's always weather stuff. Not always, but often weather stuff in these home games in Buffalo this time of year. So something to keep, specifically with the wind. That's just obviously such a huge, windy city that in the late fall, early winter. So kind of want to keep an eye on that going into the game. And that will probably just kind of dictate where some of our projections go. If we want to like focus a little bit more on the run game, because it's crazy. I love that Frank Gore had a nice long career, and Singletary outsnapped him 52-15 last week, 14 carries. He also had 4 targets, and I just can't trust. I've been bullish on Singletary in the past, and it really hasn't been correct. And it's mostly just I can't really trust what they're ultimately going to do with the run game. Is that a fair way to like kind of sum up the Bills here?
I think so. And one thing is, I haven't caught a lot of Bills games just on TV this year, but hearing the announcers on Thanksgiving and their breathless praise of Frank Gore and his like astounding career, and I get it, man. Like this guy, like you spend this much time in the NFL, and you've done something right. There's no question about it, but. Just like the part where he was like a really good, exciting running back for like a season 13 years ago. Right. Since then, he's been just like kind of churning it out, 4.2 yards a carry, 4.3 yards, bouncing around from team to team. He's bad this year. I don't know. I think it's funny. It reminded me of how much I like, I do like a world where people can be nice about someone like Frank Gore, but just kind of like, I don't know. There's just a better running back on his own team, so maybe they should give that guy the ball.
Maybe that guy can just touch the ball. Maybe he can just be the guy that gets like 75 to 90% of the snaps, and we can just move on.
It reminded me of the old Jerome Bettis days, actually. Like, as a Steelers fan, really heavily in that era as well. Bettis was great at the beginning of his career, and then he was just on crutches for the last, like, 4 seasons.
Right.
And they had Willie Parker there, and it's like, yeah. This guy seems just a lot better. I don't know if we could just give him the ball and stop praising this other guy, but okay.
Dolphins go in and play the Jets. This game started -6 for the Jets, down to -5. It's look yourself in the mirror time, I think, for the Jets. Of course, it's been like that season. It's been that a whole season for the Adam Gase and this crew. We have talked about Le'Veon Bell as a possible cash game play. I think we are going to be close to talking ourselves into that going into this week just because of the matchup and if we're going to trust the opportunity on him. And it's a home, nice Vegas favorite, and that is kind of where we want to be. The line has actually gone up from 43.5 to 45, so there are more points going up pretty evenly across the board. A few more on the Miami side. What are your thoughts on Patrick Laird on DraftKings? If he's just the last man, they have Myles Gaskin too, but it looks like Laird got double-digit carries last week, was absolutely terrible, has gotten targets here, and is coming very cheap. And if you thought, is there a world at 4,100 on DraftKings that we could consider playing him in cash? I think people are going to talk themselves into Patrick Laird. If he's just like announced as the starting running back, even though the matchup is bad, specifically on DraftKings, what are your thoughts here on a guy that's gotten Twitter buzz sort of as a joke, but now it kind of feels like he might just be the guy there?
Well, I was going to make a joke about the Twitter buzz because Patrick Laird is third on Fanshare right now, fansharesports.com. Use promo code DFSR to get 20% off your subscription. He's third in buzz over there. People are talking themselves into both Patrick Laird and Fitzmagic, Doug. Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're looking at this the same way we have in past weeks. And I was going to ask you about Fitzpatrick anyway, but Fitzpatrick, last 2 weeks, averaging 26 fantasy points for the Dolphins, pretty good. And those were in certainly worse matchups. Well, Philly was a worse matchup. Cleveland probably a better matchup. But, you know, still just kind of doing it regardless of who's out there against him. He's running a little bit. He had 45 yards on the ground against Cleveland. What do you think about Fitzmagic for a cash right now?
Ah, man. I mean, it's for cash. No, definitely not. There's no, for some reason, didn't hear you say cash at the end. The clear 100% no for me on Fitzpatrick in cash. On GBP, though, sure.
Like, what about on DraftKings? He's still pretty cheap.
Nah, you got to just prioritize these other. You got to just go. You got to pay up.
$6,000.
No, I can't do it. I can't even believe I'm stumbling about this because it's more. I think I'm more stumbling because I didn't even think about it, and now I'm just trying to like lay out
the. It's the same price as like Devlin Hodges.
I'm still trying to lay out the clear case of why I don't want to do it. The running yards are interesting, at least with the 45 and 23, and I just don't see it. This is not a great matchup here against the Jets. All things considered, they are top two. Well, they're better, much better against the run, I guess, this season. I don't know. I got to think about this one. You kind of threw me. I was not prepared to think about Fitzpatrick and Cash. I was more kind of like setting my sights on Laird, and then going to talk about Devontae Parker here. But I guess if I have to talk about Parker, then I'm doing the same sort of dance around, you know, the matchup and whatnot. So I don't know if I'm stumbling. It's because I didn't expect to think about this guy. Devontae Parker was a guy we played in cash last week. Had a huge week. He's not a guy showing up in lineups for us right now. Do you think it's just because the price comes up a little bit, and I think we have him for correct opportunity, but at 7,200, I'd much rather play DJ Moore than Devontae Parker. Is that a fair assessment, or do you think people will talk themselves into the Parker side of that sort of coin?
People will talk themselves into Parker, I'd imagine, but I don't know that it's correct. I think I'd rather have DJ Moore just on the basis of a slightly longer track record doing it. But, you know, with Fitzpatrick there, Parker's been just damn solid, right? I mean, 4 straight weeks of 10 targets, probably averaging... mental math, slightly over 100 yards a week in the last 4 weeks. I had the 2 touchdowns last week against Philly. I think Parker's a solid play. I think I'd probably lean more, but I wouldn't mind playing both.
Sam Darnold's gone 3x plus, 3x or to 4x in three of his last 4 weeks on these FanDuel prices. He was terrible against Cincinnati, and I think people did want to play him in that matchup. This is also just a great matchup here against Miami. They are about as bad a defense through the air as you can ever get. We've had decent success just stacking quarterbacks against them in the last couple weeks. Wentz, and even though they lost, and then Mayfield the week before. Do you see Darnold in that same group?
Kinda. I don't think I want to play him for cash. I think I'd rather play Fitzpatrick, frankly, going the other way. But they're in the same boat for me. I think it's a guy that could have big upside here. Great matchup. I think we're starting to see that there are some cheaper plays coming in other positions. And that leads me, I think Lamar Jackson's just the best payoff option this week at any of the high-priced guys at any position, really. We talked about some of the wide receivers, Hopkins, Adams, having their own question marks. We talked about Dalvin Cook. We talked about McCaffrey yesterday being very expensive. So I think that I'm just going to want to play Jackson, but Darnold's in that next group of guys that whose name I wouldn't cross off immediately.
Bengals go in and face the Browns. Browns are 8.5-point favorites. I'm saying this with this little sort of breathless view again about these the home favorites. Very weird the Browns are this big of favorites. They've been such a weird team this year, but whatever. The Bengals are bad in their own right. Again, where we sort of want this is the world where we want to be with running backs, and I don't know if it's the Chubb, the Kareem Hunt thing. Do you think that people will talk themselves into Chubb? The carries have still mostly been there. Hunt, and they have shared the field together. So it's not like a one-to-one, you're on, I'm off kind of thing. But I just don't know where we land with Nick Chubb in terms of the volume running backs anymore.
Yeah, I think Chubb is a reasonable option this week. The carries weren't there against Pittsburgh, but they really were the prior week against Miami and the week before that against Pittsburgh. So I think last week, the game script just sort of got away from him a little bit. The Browns are still playing for things. You know, they're not absolutely ruled out here. So I think they'll probably try to go with what works, right? And just try to hand the ball off to Chubb the way they were earlier this season. So I think it could be a bounce back week for Chubb. I think he's a guy who I wouldn't mind playing. I think, you know, I'm not going to play him over Fournette, who's cheaper. But how about this test? What about Chubb or Alvin Kamara? You know, similar price range, Chubb a little bit more expensive, much better matchup. Kind of worse opportunity recently. What do you think between those two guys?
I think I'd probably go Chubb, and it's just mostly because I'm so confused about Kamara. But another guy that I'm actually wanting to get your opinion on, huge target share over the last couple of weeks, Jarvis Landry over his last 4 weeks, has 11, 13, 7, 10, 13 targets.
A lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, he's been catching touchdowns. The yards have not really been there considering the targets. That's really never been his game. He's just, it's such a possession thing, but he's just clearly at this point the possession receiver that he sort of has been for his career. 6,500 on DraftKings for this target share. And that's cheaper, 500 cheaper than DJ Moore, 600 cheaper than Julian Edelman. Around the same opportunity from a targets perspective, where do you put Jarvis Landry here? Because he's a guy, if you start thinking that 11 targets is the real number, and that's probably pushing the higher end limit of like the mean projection. But if you start thinking that, then all of a sudden, you know, 19-point projection or something like that on 6,500 looks very much like cash game sort of material.
Yeah, I think Landry is definitely in that mix. I think it's also funny, like, I'm picturing all these people who drafted Odell Beckham Jr. in their season-long leagues, yeah. and now they have to look at him being cheaper than Jarvis Landry on FanDuel.
Rightfully so, by the way. He should be.
Absolutely rightfully so, but, like, that is not a world we probably could have imagined at the beginning of the season, barring some catastrophic injury that would have changed Beckham's skill set. But, just a fascinating thing. Both Landry and Beckham are also hit with a questionable tag right now, but we believe that that right now is just because this is just something the Browns have been doing all season, kind of limiting their reps in practice during the week and then suiting them up, both of them up, on Sunday. So I don't think you should worry about playing time for either of them. Yeah, Landry, I think I want to go actually back and look at the targets we have for him, because I certainly wouldn't mind seeing him in
catch. We have him at 10.5 right now, and I could stand to if it went up to 11, then we'd be really in the that'd be at the draft, at the DraftKings price, we'd be, and I think we'll do it, by the way, 6,500, especially if you're looking to save 500. I can see a world where people say, I'd rather play Landry than DJ Moore. I think that's,
it's not. And I don't think that's necessarily terrible.
That's what I mean. I don't think it's, I don't think you're making a terrible casket. And basically considering, too, that it's like a 10% savings, too. I think that's the piece. Yeah. If it was 1-to-1, I think it'd easily be more. The fact that it's 500 cheaper or something like that, then I know it's not exactly 10%, but that's where it becomes a little bit interesting. We do have four o'clock games. First one is a 4:05 start for Chargers and Jacksonville. We talked about Leonard Fournette at length yesterday. We even talked about Gardner Minshew and the fact that he's coming in to start. So I think we've covered our Jacksonville bases pretty much. Give me your thoughts here on the Chargers.
Yeah, well, one quick note on the Jacksonville receiving core too. All three of those guys are questionable. D.D. Westbrook, he's questionable for personal reasons that they didn't sort of elaborate on, but something to keep an eye on. If one of those three guys, Conley, Shark, or Westbrook, were to miss, that does open up some target share for the other guys. On the Chargers side, I can't say I'm super psyched about any of these guys. I mean, we saw Gordon. He's getting the carries these days. Hasn't exactly been turning it into gangbusters DFS performances. Solid ones, good ones against Green Bay and Oakland. Not so much against Kansas City, but back to the target share last week that he was seeing. So I think he's an interesting guy, you know, a guy that we could possibly be a little bit low on. I don't think you'll probably see a ton of cash game ownership there. But as far as Chargers goes, I think he's pretty much the only guy I want to look too hard at. You know, Keenan Allen, we've loved him in the past. The targets have really come and gone on him. I think he's more of a big tournament guy at this point, where he could see 12 targets, but he could also see 6. So I don't know that I want to go there for cash.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. It feels like just like the wrong matchup. I feel like maybe one more week. I haven't looked down the road here with the Chargers matchups. I feel like there's a chance with like a mini down week for some of these guys again. If they were to walk into a good matchup, I think these would be guys we can consider. It's just this is probably just too slow of a pace. 43 over under is probably not where I want to be for a ton of upside. Going on the road, too, is not really all that helpful for them going across the country. Steelers go in and play the Cardinals. Steelers are definitely a surprise team here. From DFS, I don't know, you can't do anything with these guys. Juju's questionable again. James Conner's, I think, questionable right now. It's Benny Snell gets a lot of carries, and then you just can't really figure out what's going on there. The quarterback is like was a professional duck caller. That was like the announcers were just going absolutely crazy about this last week. They just like no one's ever heard of him. He was a professional duck caller, and now he's the quarterback. It's a fun story. I don't really know from a fantasy perspective a single thing we can do with any of these guys. And yet they're still favored going on the road against Arizona.
Let's go. That's my Steel City, buddy. This is what you call a complete team. And middle fingers to all the haters who didn't like the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, Doug, like you. You got to believe, buddy. Mike Tomlin, coach of the year. Yeah, there's no DFS relevant plays in this game. I think the Steelers, you already encapsulated it pretty well. The opportunity is just not consistent enough. The quarterback play is nowhere near good enough to support anyone out of the passing game. And that just means defenses can focus on the run. And Snell, whoever else has been there, it's been sort of a tough road as well. And the Arizona side, they just get one of the best defenses in the league, and they haven't been particularly effective as it is. So I don't know what you're really doing by running them out there. Murray has been obviously very explosive, exciting a handful of times this season, maybe in half of his games. But he's had some true train wrecks on the resume as well. So I don't know that you want to throw him into the gears of the Steelers defense.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake is their full-time basically running back now. He's 6,100 on FanDuel. I think the matchup's just not good enough here, right? Like yeah, that's like, exactly. The 6,100 is pretty enticing for a guy that's going to touch the ball maybe 15 to 20 times in a game. And they sort of have signaled that is where they kind of want to be with him. 13 carries, 5 targets last week. So it's close on him, and it just it helps from our decision-making process. I think that Pittsburgh is just a very good defense, right? If this was a middle-of-the-road or worse defense, I think we would have a stronger take here on Kenyon Drake, and I just because David Johnson's done, and Chase Edmonds was active last week but didn't play. So I think Kenyon Drake is just like their feature back. And like I said, Pittsburgh is just they're not a Patriots and 49ers defense, but they're not too far behind. Tennessee goes in and plays Oakland. Tennessee is a surprise team this year. This game has a really high total, 47 right now, 25 to 22 implied totals for each of these teams. I think people are going to talk themselves into Derrick Henry and cash. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. I don't think we're not going to get there because it's just all carries and nothing, and you know, 2.5 targets a game or something like that. And you need so much to go right with that. And do you think we could be looking on the wrong side or just the opposite side of Derrick Henry chalk this week?
Maybe. Doesn't worry me at all. I think he could be chalk and he could have a good game. And when you only carry the ball, sometimes you just don't get 50 yard runs. And if I sound depressed, it's because there has been this cluster of great games for Henry in a row, and I've been saying this about Henry pretty much all season, and we've been right plenty of times on it, but at 9,100, man, I'm just not going to pay the all-time high price for this guy. I don't think the way your price goes up, in my mind, is when opportunity goes up, and he had a great opportunity week last week, but I just can't believe that as the season has gone along, that he's figured out how to run for more yards per carry. That just isn't really how it works in the NFL. So I don't trust it totally. They're getting better quarterback play. That really helps. Maybe that opens up the run game. I don't think he's a bad play by any means, but not one that would scare me if we're not on.
Yeah, and you can't really do anything with the passing game here. They don't throw enough. It's just it's Henry or bust. And so, you know, Tannehill. Tannehill threw for 22 yards last, or 22 attempts last week. Did end up for 2 touchdowns. So you can't trust anything in the receiving game. They just none of these guys get targeted enough. And that's just not what they want to do. They want to run. And they want to give the ball to Derrick Henry 25 times a game, whether they're able to or not. That's the ultimate question, right? That's the thing that it ultimately boils down to, whether Henry was a value play or not. It's not that, you know, it's not like Christian McCaffrey where it's like, well, the guy's just going to get 22 touches, so like, or, you know, 25 touches a game minimum, no matter what happens. It's like they need a lot to go right for Henry to touch the ball 25 times. You need that to happen for him to even think about being a value, and it's just far from certain. Oakland, I guess Darren Waller is still getting targeted. Derek Carr doesn't want to throw the ball very far. He's an interesting tight end play. I don't think it's where I want to land for cash just because of some of these other options, like specifically Doyle in the same price range. And I just don't – Josh Jacobs, people wanted to play. I don't think this is the situation to do it. Let's finish this thing off. Casey goes in and plays New England. This is obviously the marquee matchup of the week, 48.5 total. Actually, that's a little bit lower than I thought it was going to be also, but it's probably born a little bit more out of the Patriots defense plus the lack of Patriots offense. I think it's more to do with them than it has to do with KC here. The Patriots are 3-point home favorites. What are your thoughts on stacking Julian Edelman and James White in cash on DraftKings? Like, these guys got all the targets, and White got all the carries too. Like, Sony Michel was nowhere to be seen last week against Houston. Now, I get that was a little bit of a different game script, but in the end, James White, 68 snaps, Sony Michel, 15. James White was damn good, 14 for 79. Also had 11 targets for 98 yards. This is an outlier volume game for him this year, but we've seen games like this in the past. Where do you stand on just saying, look, for cash on DraftKings, specifically because of the PPR, I don't mind just being on the Julian Edelman, James White train and then hoping that that's kind of like where the lion's share of the production for the Patriots comes here on offense?
Yeah, you can consider White on FanDuel too. It's just 6,000. I mean, basically those are Alvin Kamara's touches that he just got last week.
Right.
And what Alvin Kamara does when he gets those touches too. Like, that's just a good Alvin Kamara game is what he had against Houston. And that can come back a little bit. You know, that could be 10 carries and 7 targets and still be plenty of production on this cheap price tag. I think he's a very reasonable cash option.
I just looked at our projection for him on this carry. Like, we're like so far low on that number. And he was close. Yeah. So because the carries, the thing, I'm less worried about the targets than I am the carries, honestly. It's because they haven't wanted to use him as a volume running back. That's just been Sony Michel in the past. And so I just don't know where to take this one week.
Well, this is what I was going to say about White too, is that you get it last week, but we've seen this before where the Patriots look, they see something, they attack it, and then they just do something different the next game. So
that's my
concern.
Given that
there's no one hurt, I don't know that you can just be like, sure, this is the time. Like, now they finally are handing the reins over to James White. Like, I went back to last season real quick. He had a two-game stretch against Buffalo and Green Bay where he had 20 carries and 16 targets over two games. Oh, I'm sorry. I messed this up. 20 carries and 20 targets over two games. Following week against Tennessee, one carry, eight targets, no worries.
Yeah, that's like, that is right.
Just right back to normal.
It's just too much of a film thing going on behind the scenes about like what it is that they're trying to exploit, and we've just seen this year over year over year with the Patriots. And you just
I'm gonna give you one more from the playoffs last year. Chargers game, 17 targets, 15 catches. Following game against Kansas City, six targets.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, it's like, because this is, he's so close. And I think people are going to play him on DraftKings, specifically as the PPR, 5,500 in PPR. If you think that if you think 14 touches from him and seven of them are passing targets is a reasonable expectation on his thing, then he's just in cash games. Like, I think you just need to.
I don't mind it. People are going to do it. And I think he's got a high enough floor that it'll be hard for him to kill you.
If you didn't want to go double cheap, would you go James White or Patrick Laird? Laird's $1,400 cheaper.
I would play White.
Oh man, I know. But it's the price difference. I don't know. This can be. You can do them both. You go just really high expensive at all the other positions. I wonder if that's ultimately what it's going to end up being on DraftKings. We're going to get out of here. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. Like we said, if you want to jump over and grab a free trial, dfsr.com/deals, you can get in on Sunday and talk with us about how we're going to be doing lineup construction, that we're in there for hours before, many hours before lineup lock on Sundays, talking about all this stuff. So go check that out, dfsr.com/deals. That also includes optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. NBA, NFL, NHL, all covered in the one subscription package. Buddy, enjoy week 14 in the NFL.
Will do.